Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you on board. Another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues, and it is my prayer and desire that you listen intently, make notes if you're not driving, be able to defend the faith once delivered to the saints, the scripture says, is our responsibility. How do we defend the faith? We've got to know the truth. The Bible says with Jesus speaking, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's in John 8:31 and 32. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand truth. We're in a society today where we're being blasted 24/7 with fake news. News that is designed to simply get ratings. It's designed to have a larger audience to watch them and to be able to sell the advertisements at the highest rate. It is not because they're telling the truth. It's because they're sensationalizing what is taking place to force you to believe that it's the truth. We need to be very, very careful. Jesus said, I am truth in John 14:6. And then he identifies it further in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus himself says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you, let me encourage you, let me challenge you to study the word, to read the word, to know the word, to hide the word of God in your hearts that we might be able to defend the faith once delivered to the saints is the charge responsibility for every child of God. Lest I forget it, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number to dial to get through to the broadcast today, 831-0917, 831-0917. And I understand by some that there have been some that have tried to call and did not realize it was a 904. So if you're out of the area calling, it's 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. You have the right to have your opinion. We'd love to hear it. If we are talking about issues, then I would like to hear where you get your opinion from. Is it from a source of truth? Is it from the Word of God? Do we stand on the truth of the Word of God, or just simply some idle ideological bent by some politician or some philosophical rhetoric from man? It was George Orwell that said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that taking place today on a broad level across our nation. I have those that have called, I have those that have emailed, and they've taken a stand that sometimes you need to expect when you're dealing with issues, and I have expected that, understood that since the early 80s, when I had the privilege and opportunity to start this same type program on different stations. We've had the privilege, ladies and gentlemen, down through the years to face the issues and deal with the issues based on the authority of truth, and so I commend that to you. It was Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And so my challenge to you, ladies and gentlemen, is to love the truth, seek the truth. Don't just believe what Nancy Pelosi and the drive-by false, phony, fake media will tell you. Don't just believe what those that have a vested interest in what they're doing, i.e. the Bill Gates Foundation and those that are benefiting, like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, that's telling you one thing, and yet they're on the payroll of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They have a vested interest in seeing the coronavirus continue until some things take place that will put Bill Gates in the position of vaccinating every human being on the face of the earth. So as Jan Hus said, if we're faithful Christians, we need to seek the truth and listen to the truth and learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, let's defend the truth. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowners with brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of professional landscape lawn care equipment for those professionals as well as the homeowners. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, ladies and gentlemen, with Honda generators. They also have a full knowledgeable staff of people that can answer all of your questions about hurricane power equipment and backup equipment that is needed so often. Our Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where the gigantic flagpole stands in Old Glory, flowing in the air 24/7. Find that flagpole with Old Glory flying. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today a subject that I believe that needs to be heard, heeded, understood, and that we need to recognize what is taking place before our eyes in the society in which we're living in today. We need to recognize that the coronavirus is serious. We need to understand that it's dangerous, it is deadly, but at the same time, we need to understand what is taking place with the movers and shakers behind the scenes. We need to recognize also, ladies and gentlemen, that we're watching the stage being set. Hear me. Hear me well. The stage is being set. The test is being run to see how the churches and society in general will respond to a fiat order to close the churches and shut down the businesses and hide under the bed. Ladies and gentlemen, in the current condition that we're in America today, we found the whole host of some of those that call themselves theologians. I call them kitchen theologians. What I mean, kitchen theologians, well, they're in the kitchen and they're making their own theology and their own doctrinal positions as they come and go. They're deciding what's theologically truth and what's theologically untrue. I've always been amazed at the number of people that can quote John 3:16 in five different languages, but that's all they know. And they want to challenge a preacher that's been studying 50, 60 years, studying the Word of God, preaching and teaching the Word of God with a theological heart and a theological mind and know what they're talking about. And yet they've come up with their homespun kitchen theology, and they're going to tell preachers and theologians and those that are doctrinally sound what ought to be preached and what ought to be done, what ought to be said, and what's right and what's wrong. We have a lot of that today. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some of those that I call the self-determined theologians that want to say expressly what it means, especially, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Now, why do I immediately go to Romans 13, 1 through 7? We're going to look at that in a moment. But Romans 13, 1 through 7 is a good poignant statement in relationship to government and what government can do and is to do. I'm not a Facebooker, but I know some folks that are Facebookers. And sometimes if you're a Facebooker, as it's called, and you tell the truth, you get put in Facebook jail for telling the truth, for giving out information that Facebook wants to filter and doesn't want to be widely spread. But today there's some on Facebook, well-known Florida Christian attorney. I'm not going to call his name, but a well-known attorney in the state of Florida. He's a Christian. And on Facebook, he is chiding churches. Listen to me. He's chiding churches and Christians. He's doing it benevolently. He's doing it in a kind sense. Chiding churches in the state of Florida and others that would be reading his material. He's advocating that Christians and churches and pastors are to obey the executive orders by governors and by the mayors across our state. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I'm a central biblicist, first of all, and secondly, I'm a constitutionalist. I simply believe that we ought to adhere to what the Bible says, and we ought to be protected by what the Constitution tells us. But this dear Christian brother is advocating that churches simply adhere to the executive orders of the governors and the mayors. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not preaching and teaching anarchy. I'm not saying that we need to openly, blatantly confront government and governmental officials and disavow, disallow, and disobey what is constitutional law. Notice I said constitutional law. But ladies and gentlemen, these executive orders by the governors and by the mayors in our nation, they've not been vetted. They've not passed the constitutional test. They've not been discussed and debated in open session in a House and Senate session and then passed by the vote by a representative form of government. That's not been done. And until that's done, listen very carefully, until that's done, it is not law, L-A-W. It happens to be rules and regulations by some wannabe power brokers and power-hungry mayors and governors across the nation. If you don't believe that, just see what's happening with some of the offices of governor across America. In fact, Attorney General William Barr has started, as he calls it, jawboning with some of the governors and mayors in America. And what he's saying, and I've read the entire article, he's been jawboning with them, as he puts it. What does that mean? He's been having a little powwow session. He's been having dialogue and discussion sessions with them, advising them that they cannot do what they have been doing in the past 6 weeks, 8 weeks in America. But yet they're doing it. And then we have those that will come along and they want to be theologians and will try to tell you and try to tell me what Revelation chapter 1 verses 1 through 7 says in relationship to government and governance and what it ought to be. Ladies and gentlemen, these rules and regulations called executive orders, they're not law. They've not been codified as law. And so as I speak today, I want you to understand our churches are closeted in the closets, sequestered in safety and protection in our homes, and the churches have been closed for the most part across America. Why is that so? Because the government says it's okay. And we are to stay in the closet. We're to stay silent. We're to stay sequestered. We're church doors are to remain barred and closed until the government says we can open them back up. Now, I want you to find any place in our Constitution that says that is legal or constitutional in any sense. It was, again, William Barr, the Attorney General, that says what they're wanting us to do is hide under the beds, his term. I always call it hiding in the closet. The Attorney General says that these governors and mayors are simply threatening to force people to hide under the beds because of the coronavirus. Now, listen very carefully, lest you misunderstand my dialogue and discussion today or at any other point in time in relationship to the coronavirus. It's real. It's dangerous. It's deadly. We have yet to have the number of deaths from the coronavirus that we have every virus flu season. We've just reached some 22,000 in America deaths because of the coronavirus. So far this year, we've had about 35,000 to die from the general, regular, common flu. Last year, we had about 55,000. All deaths are bad. Any death is a sad scenario for the families. So I'm not trying to demean or diss or discount the fact of death. That's not the point at all. But by the way, the scripture is very, very clear. There's 100% chance that everyone listening to my voice today, including myself, there's 100% chance that we're going to die. God says so. God created us, and God knows the day that we're to be born and the very day that we're going to die. Hebrews 10:25, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. Appointed, in the aorist tense in the Greek text, means at a point in times past, God decided when you're going to be born and when you're going to die. And so death is something that's inevitable for us all. We don't know how God's going to take us out of this old world. But the point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, is we're talking about today the coronavirus, the Constitution, and prophecy. The coronavirus, the Constitution, and prophecy. How do these things fit together? What's the nexus for the connectivity, that is, for these things that we're talking about? First of all, let me say that the virus is real and it's deadly. Let me repeat that again. Every citizen, every Christian, Christian or citizen or non-Christian alike, we need to be very careful and maintain good hygiene and good health habits to protect us. But that does not mean that we need to hide in the closet and be petrified and frightened for Mr. Government. It was Ronald Reagan that says, don't ever believe it. The government says that we're here to help you. And that's exactly what we find today. The government saying, we know how to help you best with your health. We know how to help you best with what to do with worship. We know how to help you best when your church needs to be closed and when it needs to be open. And ladies and gentlemen, there are preachers today that's hiding under the beds. They're hiding in their closet. They're sequestered because of no backbone of saying that we ought to obey God rather than man, and standing in that pulpit and preaching and teaching the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Perhaps you're saying, our pastor, are you saying that we need to disobey God, disobey the government? I'm saying that we need to obey God. And you won't find any place, ladies and gentlemen, in the Constitution where the government has the authority to close a single church in America. In fact, our Bill of Rights says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, listen, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to ask you a very serious question. What we're seeing as a result of the coronavirus, we're seeing the churches being prohibited from the free exercise of religion. And my Constitution hasn't been voided. It's not been eviscerated. It's not been removed in any fashion. It's still real. It's still relevant. And it still stands. And I'll stand on what the Constitution says more than I'll stand for or with those that will say, as this attorney in the state of Florida that's using some kitchen theology that says we ought to bow and bend and simply close the church doors because that's what the government says we ought to do. And we're going to talk about Romans chapter 13 in a moment, because we're talking about today the coronavirus, the Constitution, and prophecy. The coronavirus, the Constitution, and prophecy. Well, first of all, the Constitution says that the government cannot form any law, cannot make a law, cannot pass a law that will in any way prohibit the free exercise. What does that mean? Does that mean we have to stand on the roof of a church and preach with a bullhorn to a bunch of cars in the parking lot, as one preacher did? Is that the free exercise of religion? Does that mean that you can not have cars pull up in your parking lot and the pastor stand there with a bullhorn and preach, and then the police officers come up and write a ticket for every person there, a $500 ticket and a 30 to 90 day jail time on the ticket because the cars are pulled up there in the parking lot of the church and the preacher's preaching on a bullhorn? Is that the free exercise of religion being properly carried out? No, it's police state. It is a martial law approach that's come about as a result of the virus that Dr. Fauci, by the way, February 26th of this year, Dr. Fauci wrote an article in American Medical Association, says that the coronavirus is nothing more than the annual common flu. It was Dr. Fauci on February the 26th that said publicly, and it's recorded in some of his interviews, that we can just go about our lives as normal. And now he is saying that President Trump should have shut down the nation sooner because of the coronavirus. Well, he's speaking for Bill Gates of the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation that happens to own and control 9 pharmaceutical house developmental agencies that are on the fast track with 3 of them to develop a vaccine. We'll talk about that later in this broadcast today. So we have those that have vested interest in shutting the churches down, shutting the businesses down to bring America to its knees because, number one, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and Bill Gates are all globalists. They want to see President Trump fail because they want a globalist government and not a sovereign nation. And as a result of that, they're mitigating against what President Trump is doing. That's all bad enough. But ladies and gentlemen, when we have those that are supposed to be Christians, and especially Christian jurisprudence people, that is attorneys, that's now saying to the churches, you need to obey the rules and regulations of the governors and some of the mayors and just shut the churches, hide in the closet, hide under your bed, and simply be silent and keep the church doors closed until the government says you can open them back up. Ladies and gentlemen, that counters anything that's in our Constitution and especially in the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights. So what does the Bible say about government, ladies and gentlemen? What does the Bible tell us about it? I'm going to read you a few verses in Romans 13. I'm not going to try to exegete it verse by verse and word for word as I would if I were in the pulpit. Time won't allow it to do that and get to the point we want to go to in this dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 904-831-0917. That's 831-0917. Jump in this dialogue and discussion any place you want to. If you want to challenge my opinion, my position, my theological doctrinal statements about Romans 13 and what the government is supposed to do and what it can't do, I'd love to hear from you. We can disagree, but we're not going to be disagreeable. That's all right. But I would encourage you to listen up. Tell others to tune in. Tell them to come out of the closet, come out of the from under the bed, and listen to what God's Word says and what it doesn't say, what we need to do and what we don't need to do. But the Bible says in Romans 13, 1 and following, let every soul, that's talking about human beings, be subject. That means to be under, to be, submissive to, unto the higher powers. Notice now, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, God's Word is saying that, first of all, we need to be subject to God. He's the higher power. He's the sole authority. He's the sovereign in the universe. He's the creator control of the universe. He's the one that said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. He's the one that instituted the home and the family and government in the church. He's the one that gave us the authority, the word of God, to follow him and to be obedient to him. He says then further in this text, for there is no power, the word there means authority, but of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Romans 13, the text that we use to talk about government, that there's no authority, zip, zero, not a none. There's no authority, no power, but of God. God is the first, foremost, and final authority. God's Word is the first, foremost, and final authority for the child of God. The Scripture says the powers that be are ordained of God. The word ordained means to be appointed. And if you carry it fast forward, government is appointed by God. Those that serve are slaves, servants, the Scripture says. The word servant in the Greek text is the word doulos. It means slave. The government is designed by God to be God's slaves, God's servants, to carry out God's work on the face of the earth. The Scripture says, further in chapter 13 of Romans, whosoever therefore resisteth the power of the authority resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, there are folks who will beat you in the head with that and say that you're supposed to obey everything that the government says, even their wicked rules, wicked regulations that's being carried out even in the coronavirus pandemic today. That's not what this is saying. That's not the word of God, what the word of God is saying. If you pull up to an intersection, it's got STOP, it doesn't mean slide tires on pavement. It means stop. If you go through it, you know that there's a price to be paid, i.e. a ticket, et cetera, et cetera. That's because they have the authority to write your ticket if you go through that stop sign. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a greater evidence of what God says in God's Word from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has one authority, and that's God. We're to submit to God first, foremost, and finally. The Scripture says in the third verse, for rulers are not the terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, speaking of government, is the minister, the diakonos, that means the servant, the slave. It is the servant of God to make thee for good. To thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth the sword not in vain. For he that is the minister of God is the revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The Scripture is very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in that fourth verse in particular. The government is to do two things. Number one is to prosecute evil, and number two, protect good. To prosecute and punish evil, and to protect good. Now, you need to ask the question, is the church evil or good? The word evil in the Scripture is the word poneros, means bad, wicked. The church is not bad. The church is not wicked. And God has given us government as his servants. When a person is elected in office, ladies and gentlemen, when we put someone in office today, most of the time, most people are not looking for those that's outlined in the book of Exodus, the 18th chapter, and I believe it's the 21st verse, left page, left column, the last verse in my Bible on that column. It talks about those that we put in office needs to be those that fear God. That means that honor God, that reverence God, that look at God and see that they're a servant to God. Those that will honor him, those that are of truth, that means having integrity. those that are not going into office simply because of money, not gravious, not wanting to have greed make them run for office. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. What we're seeing is the initial stage of setting up government that God has given us was for men of integrity, men of honor, men of good reputation, men that loved God, men that feared God, men that had truth and they stood on truth, that would be elected and put in office. And then the laws, the rules, and the regulations that are made, they do so recognizing their subservient position before God. In fact, the scripture says, for this cause, verse 6 and 13th chapter of Romans, for this cause pay ye tribute, that is taxes. Also, the Bible authorizes paying taxes to government for the government to carry out its responsibility. For they are God's ministers, talking about government, attending continually upon these very things. Verse 7, render therefore all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor is due. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a responsibility to God and to government. And the responsibility to God, because God is sovereign, takes precedence over our responsibility before government. And ladies and gentlemen, when government was set in place, it was for moral, ethical people. In fact, John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. Let me read you further in this research article about John Adams and his statement. These words of the President, of President Adams reminds us of what used to be a common idea of liberty entailing responsibility. An absent religion, even with it, alas, many people will choose immorality and irresponsibility. President Washington said much the same in his farewell address. Of all dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supporters. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Because the American Republic is a free republic, therefore it was designed for a religious people, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me simply tie up some loose ends. God gave us government, and government is designed to honor God and to carry out God's plan for God's world with man be subservient to God. And when you see these onerous rules and regulations by wannabe dictators, wannabe political juggernauts making those decisions, they're making the decisions based on popularity and future results in the voting booths, if you will. Here's an article. DOJ, that is William Barr. DOJ, expect action on government regulations of religious services amid the COVID-19 outbreak. Justice Department may take action next week against local governments that have cracked down on religious services as widespread parts of the country are shut down due to the corona pandemic, DOJ spokesman said Saturday. Attorney General William Barr is monitoring such regulations. The DOJ move would come as some churches are standing up to city governments that should block them from holding in-person services during the outbreak, even holding up their attempts to have drive-in formats for their people separated from their homes in their cars. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that William Barr has taken a position that he needs to look at some of these would-be, want-to-be dictators that are making rules and regulations that are onerous regulations, rules and regulations that are not laws, rules and regulations that have not been passed by governing bodies to become laws, and yet they're doing so and sequestering people in their homes, closing businesses, and shutting down churches. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the day in which we live. We're talking about the coronavirus, the Constitution, and prophecy. We're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.